CosmicRadio.tv. This podcast would be nothing without our patrons, so special thanks goes out to them. Want to join their ranks and support independent content? Head to our Patreon at patreon.com/8bitlife. Welcome to the fine edition of my so-called 8-Bit Life. I'm your host, Roberto Vegas. Joining me today in studio, a.k.a. my apartment, Shane Rosencrantz.
Hello.
How's it going, sir?
Doing well. How are you?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Man, a lot of things have happened, I know, in my life since the last time I was
here. Oh, yeah. What's happened in your life since last time?
Let's see.
You're still married, right?
Yes, yeah, still married.
Okay.
Still married.
Double checking. I mean, I figured as much, but you know, you never know.
We wouldn't start off the show and be like, oh, I'm not married anymore.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing. Because then I'd ask you like...
Almost made it a year.
that would be the episode that you came with like just a bottle of Jack in your hand.
What do you think's in that water bottle?
Vodka? Everclear?
It's water. Because I am still married.
Yeah, exactly. It's Everclear because I'm still married. No, I'm kidding, your wife.
We bought a house.
Nice.
I'm like all grown up and now. It's weird.
It's such a weird thing. I have so many friends now that are either married or getting married.
Yeah.
Or doing adult things that I feel that I'm still like I think the most adult thing I do is like my taxes and buy socks. And that might be a bad thing.
Yeah, I did taxes.
Well, I mean, it's only adult. But you're married. Like, you have way more confusing taxes because, you know.
It was easier.
Really?
I mean, I've always done both of our taxes anyway.
Okay.
So I had to do them separate. And now it's like one thing. You just put all the. It's so easy.
It's so easy. Well, yeah, but you get so many fucking discounts. Like, but again, you guys bring in more income, I guess, together.
Yeah.
No kids in the way, right?
No.
Okay.
No. Nope.
Do you have any desire to have a kid?
Eventually.
Okay.
Yeah, not for a while. Not for a while.
What are the conditions that have to be for Shane to be?
Like, what's the checklist? Yeah, before
What's the flight checklist of before you know?
Checkbox one is that my wife's checklist is done.
Okay.
So that's if that's not done, then I don't even get to look at my checklist.
All right. Let's just assume your wife has done.
Well, a lot of it's the same, but like we both want to. Travel, like actually have some off-continent vacations.
Cool. Okay, I like this idea. Yeah. You're better than my other friends who.
What are they just like?
No, I was originally planning a trip with. I'm still planning a trip mm-hmm. myself to go and a friend of mine.
And now they can't go because they're having a kid.
No, it's like they want to have a kid.
Yeah,
and so they had thought not to go for the you know their off-continent trip, and I was like, okay, well, I mean, I understand, like, I fully get it, and you know, if you want to have a kid, more, you know. This is not me saying don't have a kid, but I like the fact that you're thinking.
Oh,
like,
yeah, like we like that's the thing that
know,
we want. To do.
I want to have a debauchery in you know.
I wouldn't go as far as debauchery.
Well, come on, what else?
But, visit family.
Okay, where's family?
Oh, so my wife has a lot of family in Ireland.
Okay,
I'd like to visit Ireland.
That's cool.
Yeah,
but where would you want to go? Where is the checklist of international places that you want?
Oh,
to
I mean,
visit?
I really do want to go and go all around
right.
Europe.
But okay, but like, so Europe. What's the first country you want to embark to in Europe?
Actually, Ireland.
Okay,
Ireland first.
So
the UK.
So the UK
in
general.
All over.
I mean, I don't want it's confusing. I don't want to get into the and when I say the UK in general, I really just don't want to get in because again, there is weird politics in Europe that I don't quite understand.
Mm-hmm.
Much like. Weird politics I don't quite understand around the world.
Oh, sure.
Including my own country.
Yeah, I am not a geopolitical science
master. There are politics within the world I don't quite understand. I've just barely learned why it is we truly have laws that you know, why it is the legal system goes as slow as molasses. I've just finally learned why that is and realized it as time has gone on. Just like, you know what? Maybe it is a good thing this goes slow.
Maybe things shouldn't. Maybe we shouldn't jump to conclusions all the time.
Maybe. Yeah, you know, I've just started to learn that. And it's weird because I'm like, you know.
Yeah, I want to see Stonehenge.
Yeah, for sure. So basically that island, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The island of Britannia, if you will, you know, at one point when the Romans.
You know, I understood all of that stuff and the divisions and everything for about 5 minutes after I watched that CGP Grey video. And then I forgot everything. So it's just all.
Europe. Ultimately, it is Europe.
Well, it's Europe, the UK. But stuff. It's part one of the islands is not in the UK.
No,
then I don't remember which.
Because it's
bad.
Ultimately, I mean, the tricky part with the United Kingdom, the UK. Again, it's an island, and it's an island that had a weird history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once being ruled by the Romans, once being taken by the Gauls and the French. In fact, that's why our legal terms are Latin-based or mm-hmm. Latin in origin in terms of, like, if you ever ask yourself, you know, how would you...
Habeas corpus.
Well, it's not even like that. Like, oh, okay. Here's a good one, a good example of how you can tell this. When you want to get something certified and you're going to mail, who do you send it to?
A notary.
A notary.
Public.
Right.
Which is a weird thing to say.
Which is the description word of that? Is it republic? Is republic the root?
Is it like nota republic?
It'd be republic notary. Would be the term because it's notary republic. You're not saying that the republic is a notary,
right?
You know, it's a republic notary is what if you were to really say it in that. But because typically in Latin based languages, Romance languages.
The edge, it comes
it's
after.
It's a flip.
Yeah.
Much like in French, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's why, like, a lot of our legal terms are like that, is that they all came from France, actually.
That makes sense.
When France ruled over the UK, you know, and again, over the island of Britannia, if you will.
Do you mean Gaul?
The Gauls,
The Gauls.
The Gauls, the French, whatever.
I took French in high school.
There you go.
Sir.
That's okay. The Gauls, yeah. It's okay. There's of what I know of English history, I think the only thing I truly know, like the War of the Roses, that's about it, really.
That was about Dutch trade or something.
Yeah. Ha! Something like that. Yeah.
I teach math. That's
okay.
All I know.
You learn a little bit of English history when you become an English major. A little bit. Like, not enough to be useful.
No, just enough to, like,
I know more about the English language and you know, what they spoke back in Chaucer's day. What type of English do you think they spoke back in Chaucer's day?
Let's
see how well you remember.
Not Elizabethan.
Nope, not Elizabethan. Elizabethan is actually closer to modern English.
Okay.
In fact, it is modern English. Shakespeare spoke modern English.
Old English.
Not even close.
I don't know.
Middle English, actually. The Cat and Bear Tales was written in Middle English, and specifically Middle English out of London. But you could probably bumble your way through Middle English. You could not read Old English. English is actually a foreign language to you. It's actually closer to Germanic than anything else. Beowulf was written in Old English.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Story's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. But, like, it's whatever. Like,
but right.
Middle English, you could bumble your way through. And I say bumble because there's still a couple of weird things. But, like, okay, I kind of get those words here.
Sure.
Especially, like, Canterbury Tales and that. You could read it and be like, okay, I can kind of understand certain things.
You can pick it apart.
But Old English, you'll read and just, like... That's
not English.
That's not anything. And again, it's a dead language. I mean, it's a dead language. It's less dead than Latin. I mean, it's more dead than Latin. Because at least Latin is used in science and certain things. But like
it's kept alive for reasons.
Right. And Old English is really just kept alive by some random scholars that want to keep Old English alive. Well, because I think at one point, like, because every I learned this from one of my linguistic professors. Like, I guess every like really hardcore like linguistic person like just wants to make their degree useful, so they start doing bullshit like translations Old English. I think one of them translated like the Gettysburg Address to Old English
because that's a thing that hasn't been done yet.
I apparently I think it was like I think at one point, and maybe that's what happens, you just get bored at times. I think I was watching one of the Behind the Actor Studios, specifically one with, where Lipton was interviewed. And I think he had like translated you know, rock songs and whatever to like Latin while he was just like fucking around at work.
So like I could see that would be cool.
Yeah. I mean, you're just bored as fuck. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, right? Just you get to keep your chops up, you know?
I would translate Bowie to like just, you know, to like German, to Aramaic or something.
That would be ridiculous.
That'd be amazing.
That would be really cool.
I want that done.
That would be really cool.
Okay, so travel to Europe is on the checklist.
Yeah, that's on the list.
What else is on the list? What else has to happen?
Uh, I want a new bathroom in my house. Like, I just want to fix stuff in the house.
Wow, okay.
Man, I'm telling you, you buy a house, you get into a house, and, all your whole life is just I want to fix that.
What is the one thing in your house right now that money, let's say money was no object.
Oh, no, like, no, I could spend as much as I want, like, and I don't have to pay a dime.
Like you have been given the you know, somehow the United States government is, you know, like, you know, at South by no less, the POTUS announces that he's passing executive order for, like, for all new homeowners of this year.
Oh, just for renovations?
You get an infinite tax credit for just one day, though.
Okay.
Just for a random
two. So tax credit, that just means that I don't pay taxes.
Okay. What I mean, like you get this, like...
A grant.
Basically, you get this one day only.
I don't know. I'm picking this apart like you're a genie. I'm like, yeah. The words have to be right.
Basically, it goes as such. You get infinite money.
Okay.
It only applies for one day.
Okay.
And you have to finish whatever your renovations are within that day.
Oh. I'd redo the downstairs
bathroom. And again, a day being from 12 a.m. to 12 a.m. Like, you have 24 hours to do this. It's not this, like, well, the day ends at, like, no. It's full 24. So you could start work at 12, end at 12.
And that would be it.
And
that
would so still count. So long as whatever you've done is locked in. Like, you can't then after 12:01 and you start doing work, that's going to cost you money.
Sure. It'd have to be my downstairs bathroom.
Okay.
Man, it's painted like a Ninja Turtle. Okay.
Okay.
I'm not saying that to make it up. I mean, the walls are lime green.
Right.
And there's a blue accent wall. Because apparently...
Look, Leonardo, like, was a shit, dude.
You know, and I agree. Okay.
I would probably paint it purple. I'm more of a Donatello fan myself.
That's fine. I want it to just be a normal-looking bathroom. I don't need it. Like, you open the door,
all right,
and if the light's on, there's like a glow of green out of the room.
There's another stipulation on this.
Okay.
So you say, all right, I'm going to do my bathroom.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Okay. That's awesome. One more stipulation, though, for your 24 hours. You have to theme it like a movie.
Like a movie.
Like a movie.
Okay. Let's see.
What movie do you theme it as?
That's,
I mean, because right now it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That's more of a cartoon show. Although there is the movie that Michael Bay and whatnot. But what movie?
Yeah.
And again, movie being like a color scheme, you may replace
the movie.
Like,
it's got to be clean.
Okay.
No, I like grit in a movie.
Right.
I don't like grit in a bathroom.
Okay.
So grittiness has to be out. It needs to be the less realistic, the better, I think.
Okay.
You know, a little just
so Finding
Nemo.
You know,
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina. Okay.
Yeah,
so you'd
theme
the
bathroom.
You'd do the whole clean thing, whatever.
I'd go clean and modern. Okay, it'd probably be too modern for my house, but
that
yeah.
might be cool, actually. You have like all this weird tech in the bathroom that's just there, like has this wall.
Cameras.
And again, you have infinite
weird
budget,
stuff.
So who cares?
Yeah.
You could have a computer wall.
Maybe it's just
screen.
Maybe it's just now that's where I play games. And that's it. It's just it's
amazing.
Really an office.
No, it's still got to be a bathroom.
I mean, there will be
a
toilet.
It's still you can't expand the room, you know.
No, I could make
I
it
guess
work.
You could expand the room. No, because you have infinite budget.
Right?
You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Just, like,
who needs a front door, right? I'll just tear that out. People only have to come in through the garage. It'll work.
It'll work.
Oh, man. Now I want to go see this speech on Friday. You've got my hopes up.
See if he gives that announcement of, like, the one day where
that would
where
be
all
interesting.
Homeowners can remodel their one bathroom, their basement bathroom in whatever movie.
See,
style
the one day, the 24-hour thing is pretty hard.
Well, that's the point.
Know,
like,
there are lots of things that
right,
you'd
of course.
Love to do, but like,
well, that's why you gotta you know, you're giving a heads up. No, it's not like and it starts today. Like
right,
it's like no,
right.
it'll they give you the date. It'll be like, you know, March whatever the hell or April whatever.
Yeah.
They flag it, like much like tax free day that
or tax free
like,
weekend.
Tax free weekend for like, you know, for schools. Like they'll flag it off. They'll explain exactly what it is. There will not be a surprise at all. It will not be scary. It won't be this hidden thing. It'll basically
you're really
be,
selling it now. Like,
well, it's, you know,
I'm liking this.
They all.
I mean, who pays for it? I don't care.
No,
I don't. And that's the beauty of being an individual.
But that's
I don't care who pays for
but that's
it.
The,
I just know
the
that I don't have to.
The point being is that ultimately, you know, ultimately spurs on the economy.
Sure.
You know, because again, half the stuff you can't, you know, yes, you have to work within 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of contractors will probably be working, so they'll be, you know, highest
oh,
bidder.
Oh, they'd all be working.
Well, of course they would be.
Like,
unless
like,
you're going to be doing
the,
yourself. Are you gonna,
right.
You don't have to do it. Like, you're
no,
not required
I,
to do it yourself.
So.
It just whatever work is done
like,
within 24 hours.
I think
is
like
free
many new homeowners, I believe I could do it myself.
Okay.
In the time allotted.
That's
under
right.
budget too, no less, if it's an infinite budget.
For sure.
And it's a 20 I think all I right. could make that work.
There's one last stipulation though if you do it by yourself.
You already said there was one last, but
I
okay,
one
last
one
additional
one,
more
one,
last
additional
again,
one, like
sir.
You're taking on your own yourself.
Uh-huh.
The movie has to be from the 1980s.
Movie from the 80s.
And it has to be science fiction.
A sci-fi 80s movie.
I would do Blade Runner.
Ah, oh, that's a good one. That's such a good one.
It'd be a little gritty, but if, like, have they all be neon and stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That'd be kind of cool, actually.
A sci-fi 80s movie. Short Circuit.
Okay.
Short Circuit.
That'd be weird. I don't know.
Robot what... in the bathroom.
See, I'd imagine you'd put, like, since you did the whole clean thing, you'd put, like, Star Trek or something like that. Because Star Trek did come out in the 80s.
Yeah, but I don't know that I want to have, like, big L cars display on my
It'd be Star Trek, like Wrath of Khan.
Okay. Oh, right. 80s. Yeah.
Although technically Star Trek Next Generation did come out
but
in the
80s. But that was TV. They didn't have
show.
Movies until
right, it was
later.
A movie.
You're right. You're right.
I said
you did
movie
say movie.
Movie
you did say
all these stipulations. This,
you
is, this
did
would
say
be what
movie.
The, this would be the, what the
this
contract
would be like the first
say.
6 hours of the planning, right? Like, okay, what movie?
But that's why you have to
that one doesn't count. It's not on the approved list of movies.
Exactly. That's why you have to plan it the day ahead. They'll publish out approved list of movies.
Right.
Approved list of all these things.
That'd be better.
And then you look at it like, I mean, Escape from New York would be badass. I'd have to argue with your wife. Now, here's a question.
Didn't he like have to go through a sewer?
Now, here's a question.
That's a little too on the nose.
Here comes a question, though.
Okay.
Your wife obviously has a say in it.
Oh, sure.
And again, your wife is a science fiction person. She's not...
not really.
Well, maybe she's not...
But she's open to films.
She's
like,
open to
films. She
likes
film
stuff.
Person. Yeah.
Okay, let's take away the science fiction stipulation.
Okay.
But it still has to be a 1980s movie. It still has to be 1980s movie themed.
I don't know what 80s movies she likes.
Really?
Yeah, I really don't.
Wow.
Yeah. That's
That's kind of surprising. Usually there's at least one 80s movie that everyone loves, you know. Like, even if she said, like, all right, honey, we'll do this because, you know, we need
sure.
a model bathroom, but it's got to be Pretty in Pink. Like, what if she throws that out and it becomes this, like, weird pink?
Did I get a new free bathroom?
Yes.
Okay, I don't care.
You don't care if it's yeah. Pretty in Pink?
Nah, because I can always paint it again later.
Oh, but the last...
Oh, another stipulation.
Yeah, the last
An auditor could come
yes.
and see
exactly.
if I kept up with the theme.
Exactly.
You know, I assume...
This is the government,
I'm
man.
Imagining that this is a you
this
know,
is the government,
a
man.
Yearly event.
It That's, could be.
And so, if it's a yearly event... And maybe the credit happens every decade,
right.
Let's say. I feel like I could get my money's worth by having a little bit of a cycle.
Yeah, I'll be right back.
Sure. Keep talking. And I think that cycle could go really well. Be a little tough. You know, we could do Pretty in Pink. We could do Breakfast Club. We could just rotate them in and out. And that way it doesn't have to stay pink all the time. Painting over pink is hard, though.
That
would have to
saying,
be the
yeah.
end. You're right. That would be tough.
All right,
I'd still do it.
Let's say this happens. Okay, let's say that after you've taken the credit,
sure,
you're required by law, and you're still given
this is
it.
The dumbest law,
of course it is. We talked about this in the
no,
hidden,
I know,
in,
I know, but
we talked about this in the hidden pre-show. Man.
It's just so it's fun,
yeah.
But go on.
But okay, so you essentially lock your bathroom, like basically like the room you pick is the uh-huh. room you can remodel every year.
Mm, okay,
you're allowed, and every year on this date, you're allowed to either. Add to the theme,
okay,
or change the theme altogether,
okay.
But each year, it's a different kind of thing. Like, for example, this year it'd be 80s, you know, 1980s movies.
So you
next year it might be 1950s science fiction, you know,
okay.
like World of Tomorrow kind of shit,
yeah.
like
yeah.
a Fallout kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the year after that, it's, you know, hip hop stars from the 1990s or something like that. Like each year, it's a different like set of themes.
That would be so cool. I'd be okay with that.
You'd be okay with the idea of like every year you could remodel your downstairs
bathroom. Oh, I just like the 90s hip hop. Like that was cool.
No, for sure.
That could go well.
Which one would you?
Well, I mean, I'm not like super well versed. Okay.
Right. But it's only your bathroom.
I know.
Other room is like the same and everything else, but your bathroom is like this weird magical
right,
thing.
Right. But like everybody else, I just recently watched Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah.
And have you seen it?
I need to.
You do. It was pretty good.
No, I know.
It was good.
There's a lot of movies I missed off last year that I need to see, like that. I need to see Creed desperately.
I need to see that too. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I need to.
But part of my favorite bit about watching Straight Outta Compton was that, like, I knew more than Jackie did about
yeah
stuff, some of it, but I did not know as much as I thought I did.
I know a lot, but not a heck
like,
of a whole
I
lot.
I knew who Suge Knight was, and I knew he was kind of crazy. I did not remember all the like how crazy he was.
Oh yeah, no, he was a gangster. He fucking held, you know.
Oh yeah, it was bad news.
Rip Van Winkle, like AKA Vanilla Ice, over a goddamn.
Yeah, bad news.
Which is fair enough. I mean, look, if motherfuckers coming in front, you know, if white boys come in front, and he better front correct to Suge. I'm just saying. I mean, Suge's in prison right now.
No, right.
Suge killed a couple people.
Yeah, that
he probably killed a couple more people that he didn't get caught for.
Most definitely. But there was a scene where you, like, in one of the conference rooms, it was like just all red because, you know, just red.
Case. Yeah.
Obviously.
Just a case.
Right. But, like, the whole thing was just red and, like, little black accents. Like, that'd be a cool bathroom.
Yeah.
For a year.
For sure.
Yeah. You know?
What would be the theme that you would then fear coming up? I mean, because again, if you, and what if as part of the gamble, like as just like as to kind of keep things fair and fresh,
sure.
They randomly pick, you know, a household to have to change the bathroom, much like an audit or something like that.
You're not required to be. It would have to be.
Again, they'll cover it. This is again to keep the economy flowing.
Oh no, I've got it. I've got it. 90s WB dramas.
Oh damn,
that'd be tough.
That what would that include?
Wasn't that like the Dawson's Creek?
That
era
was a
of
Dawson's
television?
Creek.
Like, that'd be some.
Just have a giant.
That would be some hard times.
Just have a giant picture of Vanderbeek staring at you while you take a shit.
I don't like this anymore. I'm pulling the ripcord. Give me
that. That was when it got
too real.
That's when it got too real.
Was the Dawson
staring at you?
Mm-mm. Couldn't do it.
One of my favorite roles with Vanderbeek still is. What is it? Oh shit! I always forget the movie. It's the other. It's from the guy that wrote American Psycho, but I forget what it is. Rules of Attraction.
I don't know that one.
Rules of Attraction.
Is that a '90s movie?
Yeah, I think it's '90s, but it's a really good movie because there's a great scene where basically Vanderbeek's character is selling, I think, heroin to literally Fred Savage's blanket character, and like he's like, I guess, like some
wait. Vanderbeek.
Yes.
Is selling smack.
Yes.
To Fred Savage.
I haven't even told you the best part.
There's more. Okay.
He ends up shooting. So this is sort of a thing that apparently heroin people do that don't want to be known as heroin addicts.
They got to hide their track marks.
Yeah. So where do you think he shoots it?
I've heard of, yes. Like, seen in movies, like, in the webbing between toes.
Yeah. Yep. Basically, he shoots it up there.
Wow.
And he's, like, fucking around with a clarinet. And like Vanderbeek's like, where's the cash? What do you fucking stash? Where's the fucking cash? Like, it's a great scene. There's some great moments in that.
Did you
movie.
Say clarinet? Like
clarinet or some type of fucking instrument. Yeah, some type of instrument bullshit thing.
Huh.
He's like a college, like he's like a rich college kid, and like, but like Vanderbeek's like nobody. Like Vanderbeek's just trying to fucking, you know, he's fucking selling.
He's trying to make it.
Trying to make it. Like, it's a good movie. It's a damn good film, and it gets really crazy. Like
yeah, Vanderbeek sells
heroin. Yeah,
the horse stuff. Horse, that horse, right?
I don't
heroin?
Know.
H?
I don't yes, know. It's H, yes. I'm just, yes, heroin is typically called H.
In honor
smack.
Of Nancy Reagan, I'm yes. trying to regurgitate all of my say no to drugs learning as a young boy.
R.I.P. The only thing that ever really affected me in Nancy Reagan, that Nancy Reagan ever affected me in any capacity, I think,
mm-hmm.
was every fucking arcade on the planet having the FBI like don't, you know, say no to drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
Which even as a kid I never quite understood.
Like, what didn't you understand?
I understand
like
the idea of say no to drugs,
sure.
And I get that, you know, anti drug thing.
Like the ad campaign.
Just the idea
it, like
that
why...
that it has to have been like why is it I'm seeing this in front of bubble? Like,
right.
Well, like where when does this matter, like how does this affect my playthrough of Dragon's
Bubble
Slayer?
Bubble is a huffer. That's why. What do you think is in
how
those
does this
bubbles?
Affect my, how does this affect you know, Ken and Ryu as they fight against, you know, M. Bison and
they're high as shit.
They might as well be.
How do they get smacked in the face and not keel over? They're so high.
Okay. So obviously remodel the bathroom is let's
oh,
get
yeah.
back to
yeah,
the
yeah,
list
yeah.
here. So remodel
yeah.
bathroom. Getting back okay. to the central argument. What's the third thing that
oh yeah, what the list?
The list,
wow,
yes.
Wow, we're back to the list.
We've gone back to the list because
yeah, no, travel.
Travel, bathroom.
Finish some house stuff. I mean, it's a pretty short list. That's pretty much it.
That's it. So those are the only things that have to happen.
That and all the money associated with those things. That's
well, yeah, of course.
Right,
yeah. That's assumed, unless somehow, you know, stipulation happens and you get infinite budget.
Yeah, right. Which is fun, but like...
I don't know. We, you know, who knows?
You're
crazier
right.
Crazier things have happened. crazier things have happened.
Yeah, okay.
There is a man that opened up a bunch of casinos in Vegas over the years, and he is currently trying to get the nominee for the Republican Party.
That's true.
You know, crazier things have happened.
That's true.
Things are, you know, we're in topsy-turvy land. Who knows what the fuck's going to happen?
I had a kid, a student,
yes,
ask me if Trump was elected, if I would leave the country. And I was like, well, no, that's a bit extreme. I mean, the president can only do so much.
All right. What would have to happen in the United States for Shane Rosenkrantz and family
to leave,
to get the fuck out of the States,
become
an expat in whatever country you choose?
Like, what political stance?
Whatever, anything.
I don't think that there would be much chance of like a political stance that would be like, oh, I have to leave.
Anything. Like,
oh, I would probably
like
I'd leave for a high paying enough job.
Okay.
You know? That's
fair. Okay, that's different. Something has to, like, everything is cool, economy's fine, whatever.
Sure.
Something happens politically, and I mean, like, not like someone gets elected, but like some law gets enacted or whatever.
Sure.
What is that thing that has to happen? Like, is it just like is it the fact that, like, you know, and we've invoked martial law, everyone can, you know, and
I think, you know, it'd have to be like
the what was the movie called, the where everyone,
oh, the
got,
purge,
the purge, like the purge, like would the purge have to,
yeah,
be a real
I'd leave
thing?
If that happened,
yeah, I would too, actually.
I would leave if that
I'd
happened.
Get the fuck out of town.
I don't need to do that.
I don't want to spend the money on, like, and now purge security, like, no, fuck
right,
that I'm just
yeah,
gonna,
no,
chill
I
in Canada,
if,
where
you know,
safe. The people are
let's
sane.
Say there's some terrible pendulum swing back the other way, and, like, you know, there's crazy government enacting,
yeah,
like lynching of like like non-straight people, and I'm like,
whoa,
and I'm like, I've got a kid who's gay, like, no way, I'm leaving. This isn't gonna happen.
You've already dreamed your kid to be gay.
Oh, I mean,
it's cool.
It. Yeah.
I mean, it's cool. I mean,
yeah,
nothing wrong with that. But it's just, I like the idea that this is the narrative.
Sure,
this is
that,
the narrative
that
Shane
would be,
has in his head.
Yeah, that would be enough to.
Okay,
I'd leave for that.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's totally
threatening
fair.
My children.
I have thought about it this time go around. I mean, as Plan B,
sure,
or Plan G, whatever letter you want to mm-hmm. pull it out, because it's
preparation
it's,
H.
Because it's one of those weird things.
Yeah.
I've always been curious, you know, what it takes to be an expat in general.
Okay. Yeah.
Just because, I mean, again, when you're an English major, you always hear about, you know, I mean, fucking Fitzgerald, Hemingway,
mm-hmm.
all the writers that you know you learn to read are all fucking amazing expats that, like, chilled in France and, you know, drank themselves into oblivion.
Yeah, they had such great lives over there.
Well, Hemingway did, at least. Hemingway, you know, Fitzgerald, you know, he had Zelda, and Zelda was, like, you know, bleeding him dry, but, you know, fuck it, at least he got something, I guess.
Sure.
Hemingway would just drink himself to death. And,
yeah,
you know,
good for him.
But fuck it, you know, what else are you going to do in Cuba, you know?
Yeah, there was nothing left to do.
Yeah, there's nothing. He had done everything.
Yeah.
He wrote Old Man in the Sea and just, like, fine. I have to, I guess, gun to head now, you know.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to do that. But, you know, regardless of that, you know, you always look at the expat lifestyle.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
That'd be kind of interesting to do, nothing more, to figure out
mm-hmm.
what it's like to work in another country and deal with all the bullshit of that. So I kind of got bored and started looking at, like, you know, what are the top countries for expats?
Yeah.
And I think, like, one of them is, like, Singapore.
Really?
And I don't think I could roll. I don't think I could roll in Singapore.
Why? I wonder why Singapore.
I don't know.
What does Singapore have to offer?
I think it's, like, the healthcare system. They're just, like, really clean and laws. And
do
whatnot.
They have, like, lax immigration laws or something?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, like, a lot of places that were there
yeah.
ones that was like, yeah, come on, all are welcome. Come
sure.
on in, because, fuck, you're paying, you know, you pay money anyways.
If you have money, you can come.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but, you know, being kind of not the most, you know, rich person, so I'm like,
sure.
you know, everyone's like, yeah, this, and, you know, I'm like, well, where could, you know, I started wondering, like, what are the countries that, you know, are more geared towards not only my skill set, but also,
yeah, like, but also
like, you know,
way of life and, like, how your values, right?
Exactly,
yeah, yeah,
and that's sort of what I think for me, it's definitely like some of the European countries, like the smaller European things, like, you know, where it's, like, cold as fuck, and I guess they just don't care anymore.
You just go, and, like, you can't. You could go to prison, but prison doesn't seem that bad.
Well, no, it's well, you
like,
know,
what is that? Is it Sweden? That
yeah,
have, like, the
well,
knife,
like,
prisons,
I,
the opposite,
like,
of Turkish prisons,
right? Because, again, I don't, you know, I want to go. If I'm going to go again, I'm still going to follow the laws. I'm not
sure,
going to
right,
fuck
right,
with anybody
right.
here.
But that value system.
But the idea of like, you know, here's a place that we're we're liberal enough and we still have legal stuff. And again, that's that's cool with me and taxes, whatever, cool. Socialized healthcare, I'll pay for it. I don't, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I am totally fine paying for this stuff because it's cool and I you know, I value it. I'm like, well, you know, where would that be? You know, is that to be, you know, because a lot of places that you read these lists are like, these are the best places for expats because your money goes a long way.
Because if you're rich, you're going to be so much richer there.
And I was just like, I don't. You know, I'm not rich at all, and that's not what I want to do. Like, I'm not getting out of the country because, you know, I'm rich. You know, if I was rich, I'd still be in the country. You know, Donald Trump being elected wouldn't change that. No offense. What would change that would just be like, well, Donald Trump being elected means a couple things. You know, again, this is not. I don't want to get too political because politics is that weird.
Oh, okay.
Fluffy thing. Only because right now we're in the weird phase of the game.
Yeah, I'm in the place where like they're. There are like no real choices for me to make.
Yeah, exactly.
And nothing seems that great.
Yeah.
So,
like, right now, we're in the phase of the game that is ultimately I'm waiting for my champion to rally behind. Like,
yeah,
I'm cool with that. And on the side of the politics and go on, I am cool with any of the champions that are currently arguing amongst themselves to be who's the champion. And I'm keeping a tertiary glance on the other side to see who their champion is. And I will say it is interesting watching the Republican side as a very much a liberal Democrat.
Sure.
And just watching that party have to kind of come to grips with what that party is.
Yeah.
I think that's what the interesting thing. You know, I was telling my dad this because, you know, we're talking about this. And, you know, there's an element now of the Republican Party that the theory had always been that element existed, but no one wanted to really say anything because, you know, for political reasons or whatever.
Sure.
But it's very interesting now that element now has its own voice.
That hidden element is now also in the public eye.
Well, because it now has a champion to rally behind, and it's never had a champion so clear to rally behind as the blonde wig with a head, you know, and that's cool, but it's interesting again. On a historical and socio level, it's cool and it's interesting. It's interesting.
If nothing else, it is an exciting,
it's a fascinating
interesting
thing.
To
watch.
Fascinating
to,
is a good word.
You know, it's fascinating to see this because it's such a weird thing of like watching this party have to come to grips with how things are going
and face real change
and figure out
what it's going to
do. Do we embrace this because we want to keep the party together?
Right.
Because I think there was like one point where I think yesterday I was reading CNN. And I guess because things have kind of gone weird, like Trump was saying, the Republican Party should unite behind me because I'm, you know, leading the polls and everything else like that.
Yeah, because I'm going to win.
Right, but it was interesting of like, you know, before that, like, you know, way back when he was arguing like, well, you know, I could go third party anytime I want. I could just hit the eject button and bring all these guys.
Yeah.
Like, it's fascinating because it's just like this weird game where I realize it's the phase of, you know, the game that is this phase, like this is how the phase works. You know, if you think of like,
it does feel earlier. I don't know if it's because I'm older now and I'm just a little bit more aware, or if it's really just because it's now 4 years later than the last time this happened and we're that much more connected.
I think it's more that, like, if everything worked out well the way I would like it to work, I would love for us to pull like a European thing and have like four different candidates from four different parties
instead of doing first past the post.
Yeah. Like I would love for it to just have that happen. Cause like right now, even on the Democratic side, you know, Hillary and Bernie are completely different. Republican side, they're all kind of different to a certain degree. It'd be really interesting to see just like, and we have a Republican nominee and a third party nominee and another third party, like just have all four of the top guys, all top people just start running right now. You know, and as their lead.
So that makes sense when you talk about like legislative branches, right? Where you have a whole house full of people, because then you can do that distributed where like, oh, this party got 60% of the votes. So they should have 60% of the seats. But how would you do that for a single executive member? Right?
I don't know. I'm very curious. I'm super, again.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it's an interesting thing. And I'm also curious. I was, you know.
Yeah,
what do you think?
I've never thought of, like I never thought that far out in the.
Like
the
into the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
Mathematical.
Only because, like, it's such a, again, right now, I only keep a tertiary glance on this whole thing.
Yeah.
Not because, Only because I'm like, okay, like the Republic of Parts, like I said, it's fascinating to see this because it's such an interesting thing to see a part. Like again, in if you look at historical things in terms of like politics, I think it's like the Bull Moose Party, was it?
What did they want?
Because it was like a complete split of the Republic of whatever party that was at the time.
Yeah, it's just like totally fractured. And
right. And I've never, we had not ever been part of a like, for the most part in politics. For our modern day politics,
everything's been the Democrats and the Republicans.
Yeah, there's never been any.
Yeah, doesn't it feel like we're due for some kind of change?
Right. And it's interesting to it's interesting to see, like, on both sides of change. Because on the Democratic mm-hmm. side, there's a lot of the hardcore liberals are very much for Bernie Sanders, and some of the more middle of the road Democrats, if you will, are more for Hillary. And then the argument there, and then the Republican side, you have the hard, not even like the hardcore conservatives, because again, it's such a weird
going for Trump.
Yeah, because
he doesn't get like the hardcore conservatives, right?
He gets this very right side, and that's not so much hardcore conservative. That just is a hardcore right.
Yeah,
and it's it's very interesting to. I'm dancing around words because I don't really I don't want to say anything, not because I'm like, I don't think anyone that listens to this podcast is a Trump supporter, but if you are, rock and roll, you do.
Well, I hate that part, right? Where we could be in the middle of a, and this isn't a you thing, this is just an everybody, that like, oh, but I don't want to say because I could offend some. Well, like, I feel like if someone is so easily offended by, and I can say this because I'm only here like every year, once a year, so.
I don't even care if you.
Fuck y'all. if you're so easily offended by
a
casual conversation that's not super.
Well, I'll put it this
heated.
Way, and this is why I started thinking about this, because I've always tried to figure out why it is that certain people kind of get more sway than they do, and I start thinking of like what it is that because again, like as part of Trump's running thing, mm-hmm. the idea of, like make America great again,
which
right.
Okay.
And it's interesting to see the people, and again, this is from a socio thing, because one thing that I've tried to do in my life as of late,
mm-hmm.
And in the past maybe like 5 years, I've tried my damnedest not to romanticize things.
Keep it in reality.
And again, not because I don't like, when you're, there is realism and then there's, romanticizing the idea of putting a notion of, that there is good and there's evil, there's black and white, when ultimately it's shades of gray.
Yeah.
And for me, I embrace that grayness and see the beauty within that and mm-hmm. see the idea that, it's kind of cool that we have.
It makes a richer tapestry of life.
We have these.
It's more interesting.
It's interesting. And that's sort of what I've done. And so as I study a lot of the people that are for one side or the other, mm-hmm. Specifically on the Republican side, a lot of times it comes off as they have this idea of what America used to be.
Which is, go ahead.
Right.
It's very like rose-colored glasses.
Right, of course. And that's the thing.
Everything was so great.
Right. And then it's much like, and it's interesting because like the more I see a lot of the people who are getting at, the thing is, like to me it's almost, and this is going to sound weird mm-hmm. to those who don't know, but it's almost kind of like the Gamergate thing, where you have these group of people that sort of built their core belief system on this one thing, this one idea. And that as the world has changed, because change is inevitable, that's the way of life, the universe, and everything, that they've lost whatever that was, but because that was the only thing they defined themselves on. Like, there's a really weird article on Medium, I forgot who wrote it, but she was arguing that, like, a lot of, like, typically the people who are for Trump, might be poor white,
Okay.
A certain demographic.
He's polling best with
right,
that
he's polling
crowd.
Best with his demographic. For example, he's not polling really too well with Hispanics because, mm-hmm. He's talking about building a wall in Mexico and being very, very hard on immigration. And typically we don't tend to like that. But that's, he's polling with a certain group. And that's, again, that's just demographics. That's just everything. It's not anything that's not to be racist or anything like that. That's just who he's polling with well.
Yeah, yeah.
And the article was making the point of that a lot of these people view themselves as sort of providers and sort of mm-hmm. these. And again, this was the article's opinion and not my own per se, but it was still interesting, where that they view themselves as providers and that's sort of their identity.
Uh-huh.
And that as jobs have kind of gone on and kind of things and technology has come to sort of get rid of, not get rid of, but sort of,
To a point that this demographic could start to feel disenfranchised.
Right.
Yeah.
And because they have defined themselves only by that kind of thing and haven't really built themselves on any other kind of characteristics, like in other words, like I consider myself geek.
The singular definition.
Right, the singular definition.
And that is being eroded.
And that's being eroded.
So.
And the idea of it is, it's kind of like that, and this I always remember this one movie scene, and it always reminds me of this. I forget what the, I think it's a Stokes trial, is it Snoke's trial? The whole like evolution thing. I forget the movie name.
I think it's Stokes.
Stokes, yeah.
I think Snoke was in Star Wars.
Right. I forget what the movie is called, but there's a scene mm-hmm. in this like very like black and white film of that where the lawyer on the other side of evolution is arguing against, you know, the other side, and this guy's like bringing the Bible up as whatever,
mm-hmm.
and it gets this very emotional scene where he's screaming and whatever. I mean, they lose the trial, whatever, but he basically destroyed this man. Because he had built his entire existence on this Bible and everything. Not saying that, you know, you can't do that. But when you take the way what a person defines himself as and they have nothing else to latch on to anymore, it's a scary thing. It's very
frightening.
You know, it's frightening.
It's like feeling that crumble away.
Yeah.
Is a scary notion.
Right. And so it was a very interesting article of like, okay. Because again, a lot of the times when I see that, because I have a lot of friends in Japan who are you know, who are here downtown and, mm-hmm. and always are asking mm-hmm. these questions about things. And it's really hard to express that, like, fear is a fucking interesting motivator.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's a very interesting motivator because fear will make you do a lot of strange things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, fight or flight response.
Yeah.
It's within your
You're either
going
to lash out or you're going to retreat and be
right.
scared.
And it's interesting to see this sort of fear element kind of, you know, capitalized on and sort of utilized for whatever reason. And again, you know, that's why I always say to our friends, like what's happened? Why is this sort of thing happening in the United States? I go, fear is a very, you know, there's a lot of strange fucked up things. Fear is one of them that, you know, it's because it's a lot of it is fear. It's fear that, you know, what's going to happen to the economy? What's going to happen this? What's going to happen to my way of life? Where is the America that I remember? Which I don't think.
Where's the America of my parents? Because
right.
I'm not. I don't feel
right.
Like
exactly
I'm in the same place.
Which is the thing is that like I don't. I have and it's such a funny thing because like you know, if you look at history,
mm-hmm.
And if you think of the weird thing of the American spirit, there's a couple of weird. I mean, like if you just boil down the idea of America,
uh-huh.
and that, like if we flash back to you know 1776, if you will.
Okay.
There's bound to have been a group of people that said, you know what, maybe we shouldn't fight against the British. I mean,
there certainly were.
They're,
right?
You know, they're doing good
the
things, whatever.
Yeah.
The Tories, they're doing good. They're providing for us, whatever.
Doing the best they can.
But
we can work within the system.
But there is a spirit within the United States that's been since birth. This idea of independence, of just sort of this, you know, not, mm-hmm. maybe that's it. I'm saying the idea of like doing radical, crazy things. You know, and I start thinking about, you know, I start putting all this in my head.
The embracing of radical change.
Yeah.
I feel like it. Yeah.
And it's very interesting to see the other side really not trying to embrace change, but trying to slow it down because they've, because again, it's these things that made me kind of realize like why certain things are slow.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there is a group of people out there that still need to acclimate to things. Because a lot of people, like, you know, got you know, and I wasn't one of them, and obviously you weren't one of them because we kind of talked about it, but a lot of people got mad when, you know, the Supreme Court decided to say, all right,
gay
marriage is cool.
Yeah.
And in a way of thing, and again, it wasn't so much that they're arguing, like, oh, this. I mean, some people did, but a lot of people, like, were arguing, well, Supreme Court shouldn't have that power and everything else like that. I go, but that's kind of, that's been the game since day before before you were even here, you know, that's part of the founding fathers kind of, you know, judicial checks bullshit thing that's been
right.
there since day whenever the fuck they made it. And it's interesting because it's not like they're arguing like we should go back to the Confederate papers, you know, like, or the Articles of Confederation, like,
right.
you know, no one's arguing that.
Right.
But it's very fascinating to see that when change happens like very rapidly, and it mm-hmm. has happened, you know, within the scheme of grand things, though it seems like it's totally cool pace for us.
Well, we grew up with this change, right?
Right.
Like,
well,
and we've been.
Well, I think the interesting thing is like you and I and kind of our era has grown up with the idea of technological change being fast.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And because of technological change being fast, like I'm not saying the other eras did not either. They did, but
in different ways.
In different ways. Like we are in an era where we get a new one of these little devices every day, and these devices are fucking computers in our hands that can access information from wherever at any point in time on anything.
I mean, it's our portal to the rest of the world,
right?
Which didn't exist before,
right? Yeah. And so, if you think about the idea that within tech, it's not uncommon for there to be rapid change, like very much a yearly change.
Yeah,
you know, that's why everyone's like, "Oh, why is the law so slow? Why hasn't it caught up to technology yet?" And everything else. It's like, well, because it's designed that way. And I started realizing it's designed that way to kind of give everybody else who's not used to this world time to acclimate, to kind of get used to the idea that this change is going to happen. Because, again, there's a lot of changes that have happened over time that even the other side would argue is probably a good thing, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and things like they probably would argue that, you know, probably okay with the idea of prohibition being revoked and that kind of thing.
I think many people are. I think, you know, some people still may be a little salty, but,
you know, most people are okay.
But, you know,
that.
You get eventually to the point where, like, well, certainly most people are okay with the fact that it's okay to have, like, interracial marriage, and that's legal now.
Right.
But there are still people who aren't.
For sure.
And there's always going to be that.
Right.
That
and for sure,
cross-section.
Having a little cross-section is fine. I'm saying, like, it's not great, but the majority of people are cool with this.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And I think that's what it is that we're at a time now where, because things are changing very quickly, only because we're finally catching up with the rest of the world, really. Like, a lot of this stuff has already changed in the other parts of the world.
Yeah.
It's just we in the United States are finally catching up.
Okay, yeah.
And I think what's happening is that a lot of the people, because of the way the United States has kind of been geared to sort of have this, you know, states' rights idea, and not, you know, not saying it's bad or good, just saying the nature of the game.
Right. Yeah.
Again, we're a weird country because, you know, we were birthed out of, I mean, there are other countries that were birthed out of, you know, leaving their parent country, but we're, you know,
right.
We had a very violent birth, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It was, you know, we had not only a war to kick it off, but a war to defend it, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, the war of 1812 was pretty much
part two.
Yeah,
like,
it was
the Rambo to our
The one that was like, all right, you're a nation, fine. Let's
have war like a real
all
nation.
Right, it's like you guys had enough time being your little indie thing. We're going to fucking, you know, take it back. And that was what the War of 1812 was sort of the, all right, motherfuckers, prove it now. And that was our real solid. I mean, we had a Revolutionary War, and then there was this war that actually was like the real thing. Like the thing that really decided everything and everything else like that.
Yeah.
Then you had the idea of Manifest Destiny and then all these kind of things that have kind of become part, you know, that we don't think about as sort of things that affect us, but do.
But as America, as the deserving entity that will take what is hers.
Yeah.
And that still happens with, it is sort of built into our individual spirits. Yeah.
And so I've been thinking of all this just because this is such a weird time for me because I'm, you know, you and I have never had to experience that kind of radical change. I believe any change that's good for humanity is a good change. Anything that pushes forward humanity to get us to whatever we need to get to be whatever it is that we're destined to be, so to speak.
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's one of those things like I look at this like why is it that this is happening? Not in a bad way or a good way. Just like what is it that motivates these people? Because ultimately what we're talking, you were mentioning like people getting angry and getting offended, is because very people, you know, people tend to, when their passions are running hot.
Yeah, they're not ready for discussion. They're ready to fight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's passion, and I understand that because, you know, as a geek, as a dork, you know, we tend to get passionate about things. We get riled up when movies are coming out, and we get excited about new games, and we love to talk about what it is.
All I do anymore is play Elite Dangerous, like all the time.
I need to start playing that game. I need to get a copy of that.
You don't. You won't do anything.
Well, I need to get that in Stardew Valley. Stardew Valley, I think, is going to be my next. Only because I love the fuck out of Harvest Moon.
I haven't played it. Never. I never
Harvest
did.
Moon was my jam.
I totally derailed our political conversation.
No. But the point is, that's the thing, we're very passionate about these things.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it. And there may be a person out there who's like, you know, it's just fucking video games. It's zeros and ones. Who cares?
It's just the Super Bowl.
And I always say, well, yeah, but it's art. You know, it's just like, how is that art? You know, art is Rembrandt and Van Gogh. I'm like, yes, but here's, you know, we will fight those and bait those because that's, you know, it's something to us. Like, we don't, you know, neither you or I know of a world where video games have never existed.
That's true.
You know, you don't know that world ever existed.
No.
You do know world of the internet not being a really big thing, but you do know.
I vaguely remember it.
Yeah, but like, you have no idea of a world without video games. Video games have been part of your, your psyche for as long as you've been on this earth.
I was, I don't know, 4?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because video games came out like 79, 80. And you know, I'm 82. And
86.
Right.
Yeah. I remember.
There's not a world where you existed that video games was not even a thing.
Right.
You know, there might have not been, in your case, there was a world where Nintendo wasn't a thing.
Right. So,
we didn't even experience any of the big, game crash at all. Like, maybe I experienced a little bit of
it. We had an Atari 2600. We didn't have ET, but we had an Atari 2600 in the closet.
So all I had was a Nintendo, but again, arcades were all these things.
Yeah.
But so the idea being is that, take all that kind of thing is that, you're passionate about whatever you are, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that that's a case of humanity, and I'm just like, what is it that they're passionate about? And I keep realizing it's the fact that they have this notion of what America was.
Mm-hmm.
They know that that's not the America now. But they don't know how to comprehend the America now. They just can't wrap their minds around the idea that America has changed this drastically, which I argue, I don't think America was ever that back then either.
No.
Like, I don't, I don't think it was ever Leave It to Beaver. I don't think it
was
ever
No, it wasn't,
this.
But that's all we remember.
Right.
Right?
And again,
that's all
I don't think
in our
that.
Social
psyche. I don't think that was that. And
I think it's something a little bit more, too. I think it's not just, I remember fondly this old America.
Right.
And this America is so different. I think it's more, this America is so different and I'm not better off.
Right.
I think, we can look back and think back to older, 50s, 40s, 30s, and, I'm totally better off now than my family was then. We were okay.
I can look back in 1980 and just say, look at the fucking tech we have. And again, we're
right,
because
that's our mind frame, right?
Our mind frame is very much this, is this very quick iteration technology where the concept I always say, I could never have done this back in 92. If I were of my age in 92, this concept of a podcast is what we're doing now. The idea that we are broadcasting this to the internet free of charge, everything else.
You might have been able to do this in about 6 hours on some college radio station.
Maybe. Maybe I could have done it on I mean, cable access.
Yeah.
I talked with Corey Coleman because when he did his stuff, he did his original stuff on public access.
Yeah,
And talking with him and having all these kind of conversations, just knowing that what he does now, he could never have done then. He's like, oh yeah, it's insane.
Yes.
And again, he knows that because he's experienced both worlds.
He did both.
I know that just because I know technology and
right.
I kept up with it as a kid and as now. So to me, people are always like, oh man, the 90s were great for, it was the only time for best video games. I'm like, motherfucker, we're in the
time. Yeah, everything's great.
We have anyone can make a game. Anyone can make this amazing piece of tech, you know.
I had a student show me yesterday the clicker app he made. They made an Android play app.
That's amazing.
It's like, I did it in Unity and a little bit of Python scripting and stuff. It's like,
that's fucking awesome.
Nicely done.
And that's the thing. It's so funny when we talk about these things. And so in our world, I can definitely look back at my parents' generation. And my parents could look back at that generation and say, yeah, we're way fucking better off.
Right,
right. And it's very interesting to see the people that don't. Were the people that kind of just kept doing the same thing.
Yes.
And maybe that's
I was thinking the same thing. We changed with society.
Yeah.
We changed our habits and our dreams and our goals to fit sort of what was available to us.
Right.
And a lot of people who feel, left behind are the ones who stayed behind.
And that's sort of why it's interesting.
It's unfortunate.
Right.
In some way, something, they either failed themselves or something failed them
to prepare them.
But,
right. And I agree, and that's why it's interesting to see a lot of that element come out and voice their concern. It's very interesting how they voice their concern, and you always everyone parses language, but when you parse things like "Make America Great Again,"
does that mean?
What does that mean? Yeah. I'm like, isn't America's pretty great right now? It's like, yeah, but it could go back to this time when we had jobs. When they mean by jobs, I mean manufacturing jobs,
right?
Mean very specific jobs. And I don't even think
jobs that you can go and work in the same place for 30 years and then get your pension at the end.
Right.
That
and that's,
isn't, and I don't know, is it a bad thing that doesn't exist anymore?
It's tricky because a lot of the things that became redundant I mean, yeah, is it bad that we're exploiting another country for those kind of jobs? Sure, of course.
Right.
I will say that. That's the evil part that is capitalism, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to know why that's the case, is because we added laws here to try to prevent that.
Right.
You know? And that was good.
Eventually, it would all catch up, and then right. there will be some other way.
Yeah, eventually what will happen
something
is
else
China will
revoke
those laws, and India will revoke those laws. You know, things will catch up, and eventually we're all going to have to, you know, things will happen. But even then, a lot of the stuff that got factored out was because tech kind of came in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have these sort of things that you didn't need that many workers to do something. And it, does it suck? Yes, it does. Is there a way, you know, is there something that you know, that could be done to kind of fix it? And the idea being of like, you know, I always go towards, and this is the one thing that no one ever really talks about on the Republican side, not saying that they don't care about it. Mm-hmm. I think they do, but they just
don't mention it.
It just never comes up in their discussions because, again, that their mindset is like education.
Mm-hmm.
Like if we had some type of like way of saying, okay, because, again, a lot of times when it comes to labor that's important, it's skilled labor is still needed, I think. Like, I still think that there's a need for some type of skilled worker for certain things. And not because, even if it's like skilled labor in like a crazy piece of machinery that I could never work. Like, I could never work a bulldozer, any of the crazy heavy machinery they do for construction. You know?
Yeah,
I could never, for example, work a drill bit that's carving through a mountain to make a train road, you know, to make a mm-hmm. subway train or whatever. I could never do that. I don't have that skill.
To do,
but there is somebody who you know, who may not necessarily know my computer things and may not know anything about network security per se,
sure.
but could definitely tell me the fact, like, yeah, we don't want to drill through that rock because it's too fucking soft and it'll cause a fissure up here, and he'll know that because he knows the geostat, like, he's way more aware of that world, and he may not be, you know, he may not be like a quote unquote, like, you know, geologist science thing, but he has that knowledge.
You know? I think it has something to do or similar to me with. You know, when humans began to farm and then people were able to specialize, well, we're just now further specializing. And that's what needs to happen.
Yeah.
The jobs of yesterday don't exist anymore, but there are new jobs that will exist that need further specialization.
Right. And I think that's what it is that I think needs to be promoted more. I don't think we need to, like, not because I don't think we should. I mean, we should have, like there are ways of creating jobs in America. There are ways of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to be the jobs that people know of now. Like, in other words, like we could have construction jobs, for example, but maybe it's not necessarily like, you know, like, yes, there's road work, whatever, but maybe it's something along the lines of, all right, well, we need a better power infrastructure now, so mm-hmm. let's start fucking rewiring that shit and hire people to not just like lay cable, but the idea of like, well, what would it take to build a solar power plant? And, you know,
right.
You know, because, again, you can have a head engineer that plans it out, whatever, but still people have to, you know,
someone has to do it.
Someone has to install the damn thing and everything else. And there is a skill to that, that you can train and whatever, and that can be a future job.
Yeah.
And it's the idea of thinking that mentality, but it never seems to be that. It always seems to be the idea of, let's go back to this other era, this era that we remember.
Right, when there were fewer people.
Yeah.
And you could get a job because you were white and other things.
Whatever the era, that, you know, whatever the romanticized version of America that you have, that's what you want to go back to because again, you believe that was the best. And to me, I go, I don't think it's that simple. I don't even think back then it was that best. I think
to me, it's just, well, that we can't go back.
Yeah, we can't go back. That's the thing.
You need to turn around and figure out how you're going to move forward.
Exactly. And that's exactly the thing. That's exactly, you know, there's the only way to go, you know, there's no going back anymore. There's no, you know, you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
We can't go back, Marty.
Right. We can't go back, Marty. We must go forward. That's okay. That's the point. And we've come full fucking circle. And we're out of time.
Are we?
We had a very serious show. Now, you had a season. Oh, plug something. So plug
slightly.
Your thing.
Okay.
Quick.
So the school where I work.
Yep.
I'm allowed to say this. The school where I work, Reagan High School here in Austin.
Right.
Was selected by GoFundMe. You know GoFundMe.
Yeah, totally.
Let me ask you this. When you think of GoFundMe, what do you think of?
I think of hospital bills for people and pay for my trip to Hawaii.
Okay. So they know that because we had a call. Like they know that they're like, they've got kind of an image problem where, like, it's all about helping people out in their tragedies.
Yeah.
But there are also nice things that people raise money for.
For sure.
You know, for schools and all kinds of other projects.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, long story short, we're in this contest called the Chromebooks Challenge. They picked 9 schools in the whole country. We're one of them. And if anybody who listens wants to donate, that'd be awesome. But they're doing competition. So the school with the most shares at the end of 2 weeks, I know, most Facebook shares at the end of 2 weeks, gets an extra 100 Chromebooks.
That's awesome.
Which even at their discounted rate, there is like $20,000 worth of stuff. So yeah. If anybody's interested, please go to GoFundMe.com/Reagan Chromebooks. Yeah.
Okay.
R-E-A-G-A-N Chromebooks.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Yeah, no, totally. Where can people find you online?
I'm at...
In case they want to...
Yeah.
In case they want to tweet you about their opinion of America.
Oh, please send me your questions and concerns at Shaneros, S-H-A-N-E-R-O-S on Twitter. That's the best way to find me.
Awesome. Of course, you can find me. I'm at Vincent404 there on Twitter. If you want to check out previous episodes of this podcast and previous episodes with Shane on here,
yep.
Head to our website, cosmicradio.tv/8bitlife. There you'll find links to the show notes, the Twitter account for the show, which is at 8bitlife podcast, and everything else in the network. And of course, after you've helped them get their awesome Chromebooks, maybe donate a little money their way. If you happen to have like 5 or 6 cents left over and you want to help this podcast grow, head over to patreon.com/8bitlife. Help the show become bigger, badder, and way more awesomer. So that's it for today. Tune in next time we talk another geek about something completely and utterly random. Bye, people.
This has been a CosmicRadio.tv audio production. For more awesome shows, head on over to our website, CosmicRadio.tv.